From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. If you stopped somewhere today for a cup of coffee and maybe a tuna sandwich, you probably saw other people at that establishment of a different race. Today, that's no big deal. Back in 1960 in the American South, that scene would have been a very big deal. On this day, February 1st, 1960, four students from North Carolina A&T walked into a Woolworth Five and Dime in Greensboro with the intention of ordering lunch. But the manager of that store had intentions of his own to maintain the lunch counter's strict whites-only policy.
I had pre-concluded, if I were lucky, I would go to prison for a long, long time. If I were not so lucky, I would come back to my university campus in a pine box.
That was Franklin McCain. He was one of the four young men who shoved history forward by refusing to budge.
When we went to that store on Monday afternoon, I had some anxiety. And the anxiety was, what's actually going to happen here?
And yet, you walked into that store anyway. Did you go straight to the counter?
No, we didn't. We had anticipated what some of the dialogue would be when we asked for service. We determined that we would make small purchases inside the store and get receipts for them. When we did that, we sort of milled around the store for 4 or 5 minutes. Now, it seemed like an hour. About 2 meters away from the counter, I looked at Joseph McNeil and he looked at me, and without saying a word to each other, we strode toward the counter and took our seats. And I can tell you that 15 seconds after I sat on that stool, I had the most wonderful feeling. I had a feeling of liberation, restored manhood. I had a natural high. And I truly felt almost invincible. And mind you, just sitting on a dumb stool and not having asked for service yet, it's a feeling that I don't think that I'll ever be able to have again. And I felt as though I wouldn't have been cheated out of life had that been the end of my life at that second or that moment. But as soon as the counter or waitress personnel saw us in amazement, you could see the shock in their faces. And we started to ask for service. And initially, I don't think the poor lady knew how to respond to us. And we continued to ask, and she finally said, I'm sorry, we can't serve you here. And we finally said to her, we've been served, and we've got receipts to prove it. So we pulled the receipts out and said, see, we've been served. She said, but I know that, but I just can't serve you here. Let me call the manager. So the manager comes out, and he sees us sitting there, and he turns as red as a beet. What do you boys want? And of course, we said, we simply want to be served. But I can't serve you here. If you want to be served in this store, you have to go downstairs to the stand-up counter where colored people are served. But you can't eat here. And we ask him the same question. What's so sacred about this counter? Well, it's just our custom not to do that. And not only that, our policy is set by New York corporate headquarters, which turned out to be really untrue. Corporate headquarters said, run your stores the way you see fit, as we learn later. And we had that dialogue back and forth with him, I guess, for maybe 5 minutes. And he threw his hands up in dismay and walked back into the kitchen. And shortly thereafter, a policeman entered the store and immediately pulled his nightstick out from his side. And I said to myself, dear God, this is certainly it. So he walked about a meter away from us, stood behind us, and he strode up and down the counter, and he fixed his eyes on us. And pulling his nightstick out, he started to sort of slap it in his hand, slap it in his hand. I said, I'm sure this is it. I said to myself, we've got him. He doesn't know what to do. doesn't know what he can or can't do. I learned several lessons that day, but one lesson in particular that will last me the rest of my life. There was a little old white lady who sat maybe 5 or 6 stews down from us. And if you think Greensboro, North Carolina, 1960, a little old white lady who eyes you with that suspicious look, you have to have only one thing in your mind, and that is she's not having very good thoughts about you nor what you're doing. She finally finished her dirt and coffee, and she walked behind us and put her hands on our shoulders. So she said in a very calm voice, "Boys, I am so proud of you. I only regret that you didn't do this 10 years ago." What I learned from that little incident was that, Franklin, don't you ever, ever stereotype anybody in this life until you at least experience them and have the opportunity to talk to them. And I'm even more cognizant of that today, situations like that. And I'm always open to people who speak differently, who look differently, and who come from different places.
That was Franklin McCain, one of 4 students who began a sit-in at a Woolworth lunch counter in Greensboro, North Carolina. Mr. McCain was at that lunch counter with Joseph McNeil, David Richman, and Azeel Blair, who's now known as Jibril Kazan. Mr. McCain, thank you very, very much.
It's been my pleasure.
And on that first day, the Woolworths 4 stayed at that lunch counter until closing. The next day, they came back with 15 other students. By the third day, 300 joined in, then 1,000. And the sit-in spread to lunch counters across the country and changed history.